Yeah, you're very welcome to a very special Anton Savage show here in Enniscrone. Hello, folks. Big wave. Yay! Nice to see you. We are on the beach in Enniscrone. We have a crowd of people outside. We had most of the Conway. There's the Conway. Ah, we have a groom outside looking very elegant, and the whole groom's party is looking very elegant. We have civil defence. We have teleporters. We have caterpillar diggers. We have an ambulance directly outside from Roscommon. We have an army truck for some reason, which we don't quite know who's in charge of. There's stilt walkers. There's all manner of stuff happening, and the town is absolutely rammed. And the reason it's rammed and the reason we're here is because of a thing that sort of caught, I think, I'm sure, not just the mood of people in Enniscrone, but the mood of people around the country, because a man who by trade is an undertaker. Now, I've said this before. I've said he's an undertaker. Little did I know, he is the undertaker's undertaker. He's the go-to guy. He does courses and all of this, so you would think he should be happy with that. But no, he decides that in the spare field that he has, he should set up a camping site. Not enough that you would have camper vans and tents. No, not for our David. He decides what we need is taxis, buses, possibly a train, a Boeing 767, and a giant teapot. Now, the giant teapot is handy enough because he can build it himself, but the rest of it all required being brought in, and the plane, she's a big yoke, had to be transported all the way from Shannon Airport, and Shannon Airport, I think, are still in an afterglow of a combination of success and relief that the plane and David are gone, and now it's Enniscrone's problem. So I've just come back from the MTU Statham, which is the tug that is on the front of the barge, and they're all out there sitting in huge swells. From here, it doesn't look too bad. Out there, it's bad. There are waves sort of breaking on the front of the barge. The you can't get close to standing up. You have to hold on to everything. And sitting in the middle of all of this is David McGowan, busily trying to convince people that she has to get in this evening. So that's as we now stand. We're trying to bring her in this evening. But it has been the most entertaining day and the greatest of hospitality last night and today from all of the people in Enniscrone. And from all of the people who are visitors and who we think are going to visit more, because we are told, we keep getting texts and tweets from people saying, oh, it's not in yet. Right, I'm on the way. I'll see you this evening. So we suspect the influx is going to continue, but we thought we'd get to the bottom. And by the way, before we do that, I should say again, a big thank you to Phil Cawley, because normally you would be getting Classic 9 at 11. And apologies if you're a big fan of the Classic 9 at 11 and you're getting us instead. But big thank you to Phil for letting us do this in his time slot. So we thought we'd get to the bottom of how all of this came to be and how David McGowan thought this was a good idea and how a very nice woman thought it'd be a good idea to marry David McGowan, because she is. We met her and she seems like a terribly nice person. Aileen McGowan, how are you?
I'm fine. Kind of like a zombie at the stage.
While he's doing all of this last night, and he was asleep in the tug.
Did he sleep?
Last night.
He did sleep.
Well, we think
they had
we
no food because they didn't get the food bag over.
But he was on it anyway, starving in a tug in the swell all night. What were you doing?
What was I doing? Well, we went to bed for a few hours and then we did the walk,
Darkness into Light walk,
yeah.
From sort of 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, it was 4:15 in Ballina into Ballyquid.
Like you didn't have other fish to fry today.
I was getting up at 5 anyway, so what was another hour?
So tell us a bit about David. Was he always, there's no nice way to put it, mad?
No, he wasn't always. He's not mad. He's always been able to spot a niche for. He can walk into a place and he can see what's needed, and he can know what will or won't work. And he's always been that way. Always found you know, kind of things to do. When we started in the funeral home first, it was quiet, and so he had us all making wreaths, and then we were out in the road selling them. And there's always something. There'd be something to be done.
He spots a business. Yeah. We can do that.
And if it doesn't take off, it's drop it. If it's non runner, lose it. The gals.
Okay, well, the gals, that being Breege, Mary, and
Mama's
Aileen,
pets.
Are going to play for us. Aileen is on the flute. We have Breege on the harp, and we have Mary on the concertina. Does this thing have a name, or are we just going to witness it? Breege?
The song?
The piece.
The first tune is Sunday's Well by Kathleen McGowan.
Sunday's Well?
Possibly a distant cousin. And then the next one, Over the Moor to Maggie.
Over the Moor to Maggie.
Breege is in college in Cork, so.
Yeah. She's good at the remembrance
Sunday's
stuff.
Sunday's Well is her location.
Oh, I'm invested up to all the ones in the Cork flat today.
All right, guys, the gals, take it away.
Thank you.
big cheer for outside. And while we're in the cheering business, I think we should get a big cheer for a man who is but, what, an hour and a half away from getting wed, that being Pádraig Clint. Big round of applause for Pádraig, folks. Pádraig is an extraordinarily relaxed groom. I was walking down this morning at sort of 7:45-ish, and you buzz past in a car, all waving and happy. And should you not be A, exhausted, and B, frantic with worry?
I know. I was just, we were actually planning to play a few holes this morning, but there was a few jobs to be done, so it wasn't going to happen.
Tell us who you, I have to say, nice choice in suits. Yeah. You look tremendous. Yeah. We have 3-piece dark navy suits, all of the groomsmen with pink ties accented with pink roses. Mm. Oh, very fancy. Yeah. And the groom is in a sort of a white tie with a white rose, with little pink ones around the edges. Yeah. These are fancy when you get going.
All courtesy of Richie Whelan's menswear in Nace.
Very good. In Nace?
Yeah.
You fairly travelled to get this.
Well,
suits.
I'm from Nace, so.
Are you moving up here, or has that been discussed? Or
no, we're living here about 3 years now.
It's a gorgeous part of the world.
Beautiful
isn't
now,
absolutely
yeah.
Stunning. Yeah. So tell us who you have around you.
I have my brother-in-law, John. My nephew, David.
Brother-in-law-to-be? No. The other side.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
My nephew, David. My best man, Andrew. And my brother, Niall.
And is Andrew going to be all right with the speech? Is he looks nervous at least. At least somebody does.
If we get a point before we go in, we'll be all right.
The reason that, I mean, it's nice to always have a chat with people who are on their wedding day, but the reason we're talking particularly to the guys about this wedding is because we got texts saying, look, what's the story with this plane? And is it going to block the Conway's house? Because if it blocks the Conway's house, Aoife Conway is going to be unable to get out of the house, and it's Aoife Conway who is going to be marrying Pádraig, and we can't have that happening. So we were getting all sorts of assurances that the civil defence would step in, the guards would step in if needs be. Aoife is with us on the phone. Aoife, first of all, you have a clear run at the church.
Yes, thank God. Yeah, I was up getting my hair done, and it looks all right, thank God.
Good. And are you excited?
I am excited, yeah. There's a lot going on, a lot to take in, but yeah, it's great. It's great for Enniscrone, and I'm delighted to be getting married on such a special day now with the plane and everything. It's great.
Anton, I had one of my first dates with my husband was to go to David McGowan's to get a body embalmed. We'll be married 14 years next week. Hope it was someone you were connected to in some way. Anton, would you play The West's Awake in honour of David and his dream? Watching you here in Enniscrone. Drove up from Offaly this morning with the kids. Fair dues. Anton, I followed this odyssey from the beginning. Again, can I repeat myself and say that David's never say die attitude is phenomenal. It has lifted all of our spirits. Did you know that the chipper ran out of chips last night, says a text. Is that true? Can anybody verify that we at the place dry of chips last night? Ed Kilcullen is the man who owns Kilcullen Seaweed Bats, and they're sort of synonymous with Enniscrone. They've been...
Well, they've been here for 104 years at this stage, Anton, so I suppose it's a bit iconic. The beach guard's hut, you can see the plane, you can also see the bathhouse down on the promenade.
Is that the little thing that looks like a castle?
No, it's the one further down. See the white one up on the road?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
See, it's a Victorian structure.
It's Victorian. Well, it opened in for business in 1912, and it has traded ever since. It's the last of the original traditional seaweed baths in Ireland.
I know this may be an obvious question, but what does it consist of?
Well, it's exactly what it says in the tin. It's basically a great big porcelain bath that's 104 years old, and you could lie out full stretch, about 6'6" long. It's filled then with seawater. We pump in seawater.
Every day at low tide,
we go out and we harvest fresh seaweed from the shoreline. Not to be confused with what you see on the beach.
Right.
Okay, this stuff is growing like grass in a field, but it's growing on the shore, and we take that in fresh every day. So there's nothing processed about a seaweed bath here. This is the raw thing. As long as you like. There's no, we don't have any time limits. That's one of the things in the bathhouse. There are no bookings and there are no time limits. Some people spend 20 minutes. Other people can spend 2 hours. You know, the regulars would do that.
What effect does it have on you?
Oh, well, that's me telling. Well, traditionally seaweed baths were a sort of a cure-all. They were like Ireland's version of the spa. You had people who came who suffered from aches and pains and everything. Now, even when I was a youngster in the 60s, that was what the clientele was. Now it's an entirely different thing. There's a feel-good factor about having a seaweed bath. Something you really have to do to...
That you run the seaweed baths. But we thought we'd put this to the test. So we have Fred Cook in the bathhouse as we speak. Fred, how are you?
Oh, you've never felt happier, Anton. This is incredible. I'm so happy there's no time deadline because I might just lie here for 3 months.
Fred, I'm sorry to have to ask this, but what are you wearing?
I'm just in my jocks, and I've got seaweed. I'm like the beautiful Queen Maeve lying here, surrounded by Sligo plants, and it is incredible.
Absolutely gorgeous. Anna, can you say a big hello to Flat Out playing later, especially to Uncle Mark? One more big cheer. Go on. That's a stop. All right. It's one of the oddest environments to be in, to be standing in, mild drizzle, but the kind of nice drizzle, harmless drizzle here on the shoreline in Enniscrone, and directly behind us is a Boeing 767 on a barge, and everybody is facing in the other direction, staring in. And the reason they're staring in is because Jerry Gilroy is here with his mandolin, and he's braced. He's up where I was. He's up on top of the toilet block. I'm now down in the dunes, and Jerry is braced to sing a song which was written by Breda Sheridan. Written or partially ripped off is probably the proper term, Breda.
Well, we won't squabble over that, but... yeah, I wrote it.
You rewrote Wild Rover in honour of David.
Absolutely. What happened this day last week, actually, I was at home lying on the couch recovering from a dose of pneumonia. And I was looking at Facebook and very eagerly following all of David's exploits with this wonderful project. And the thought struck me, it's amazing that nobody has actually written a song about this. And I thought, God, time is running out. It'll have to be something catchy. So the first line came and the rest just flowed afterwards.
We'll sing yes, yes forever. Yes forevermore. Will King David of Sligo go down hill from door.
Jerry Gilroy and the Big Yoke Singers. 53102, back after this. If you were making a documentary about a man who's bringing a train and a plane and a giant teapot to Enniscrone, you could see the logic. But originally, Gillian, you started out just doing a documentary about an undertaker.
Yes, I decided we should make we're all going to die someday and nobody will know anything about it. And so in 2002, I went out and I met David and interviewed him about being an undertaker and what it was like. And he's just a fascinating man. Like, he engages you and you suddenly go, you see why he's an undertaker and what he gives to it. Like, he used to say, I'm giving back, if you're getting dressed for a do, you'll take 2 hours to get ready. And I'm just giving back that 2 hours so that when people see you, you look good. But he's all about the psychology of death. Amazing.
There's still a bit of a swell there, and we're sitting out looking out there. The wind is not that suitable. It's north easterly, kind of. So it's a dirty enough wind. The wind that dictates the swell and the wave. So we're hoping that's going to calm down for the evening. The tide will start filling again. We're putting a plan B in place this time. That will maybe, if we can't get in and the swell is up, we're going to put what they call a halter on the barge. What it means is, did you ever hear them putting a halter on an ass? There's a bridle put on an ass, and he has two blinkers, and he can't see left or right of him. And
So you want to put a halter, and where's the end of the halter
going to
go?
What we want to do here is that bear going in with blinkers, but set it up straight, and it doesn't see left or right of it. It goes straight for its spine. But to do that, we put a halter, as they do on an S, on the front of it, and we set a buoy there. You might have seen the lads out with the yellow coat. We were on it there. We've after setting a buoy out into the water, and we're going to run a tow rope into the beach, and we're going to connect it on to two digger machines inside, so they will actually start pulling it, and they'll be pulling straight. Now, we were also going to connect the tug to the back of it, so in the event of her going dancing within in the sea or within on the thing, and we're not able to retrieve, because she rides up on the beach sideways, we'd never be able to retrieve her. Now, bear in mind, if I can't get her off tomorrow, that means they won't be able to get back to Southampton till Wednesday. And after that, I'll be charged $2,500 a day, because it'll take another month to get another high tide to get her off. So we're out here sitting looking at computers, and you're in there having the best crack of the whole lot.
Yeah. Even Aileen doesn't look worried. Aileen's just sitting there, oh, yeah. Are you optimistic based on what you think the halter is going to do it, Aileen?
Absolutely, and there's going to be a sunset.
There's going to be a sunset, and yep, the halter, and the diggers,
and calm seas. It's going to calm down. It is going to calm down.
Right. Okay, now hang on.
I'll put the smile back in your face, Aileen, now. I'll tell you now, I'm going to tell you something. Do you see that?
I'm certain. I was right about the weather up to this.
Listen to me for once. And there'll be no smiles on your face when you hear this now. The steel rope that we're going to put on from the tug to the barge from behind to retrieve, they've just sent me a message by email. If I damage that wire, to replace it will be 20 million.
No. There's definitely going to be a sunset.
You better get down on your knees and pray that I make the right decision here. Are you yourself will be within looking for a house from the government? We'll be on the housing list. But that is
I'm not scared of work.
What?
20 million worth of work is a lot of work, Aileen.
It'll keep me going.
That's
until
a lot
I
of
die.
Gigs.
It's all right, you laughing at this carry on, but I'm looking at this 4767 in front of me now, and I'm saying, are you worth it?
You're going to make a 20 million euro gamble to get this thing in this evening.
Well, that's what they just said to me, Anton. I don't know. They could be fooling me, or they could be lining me up for a kick. I don't know. But I find it strange that there's a wire rope. But what they're saying then is, there's another rope, the one we're making the halter out of. They reckon that rope, whether it gets damaged or not, I have to pay $3,500 for it. Because they reckon in the Scone Beach is sand. And if the rope is dragged on the sand, which it will, the sand is like glass. And the glass will cut the rope. So if we use a rope like it, and that's $3,500. But then he rang me back there 10 minutes ago and he said, yeah, but it'll take a week to get it, and it'll take a week to send it back here, because that tug can't leave there without this safety rope. So I said, well, what's that going to amount to? Well, you're up at $10,000 already. So the largest these fellas think money's going on three.
Well, hang on. As a final, David, is she coming in this evening, do you think?
What have I been saying to you all along?
That is the largest round of applause today. David McGowan, our everlasting and new hero, thank you so much, and we will keep following it till she is in. Aileen, thank you so much, and thank you to everybody around Enniscrone. The guys who came out today, thank you so much for suffering through the weather. It was really nice to have you. Thank you to all of the people up on the Diamond Coast and in Ochella, and all of the businesses in Enniscrone, and Jackie McGowan and Megan Anderson and Martina Byrne and Christopher Ginty and all the crew at Gwerky Clamping, and the guys at McGowan's Funeral Home, and Kate Brennan and David Tuffy and Louise McDonald for driving us around, and the Diamond Coast, and of course Phil Cawley for giving us the time, and I'm even eating into his time now. To Adele, to Roisin, to Peter, to David, to Roz, to Fred Cook, Shane Dempsey, Kitty and Neve, Pam and Emer, the team, the guys who work so hard to make all of this happen. Thank you. We are out of here. Stand by for Phil Cawley, and we will keep you updated on the 20 million euro gamble that David McGowan is making for the big yoke. Thanks, bye bye. Today FM.